Good morning, everybody. So, as Blaine said, we are going to be starting a series on foundations, just like the nuts and bolts of what it means to be a Christian, of walking out our everyday faith. What does that look like? And for me, before we get anywhere into what we believe and how that affects what we do and how we live our lives as a Christian, the foundation before all of it is love. We love because He first loved us. He says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." And actually, that God's heart is for us to know His love personally, individually. It's true that the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." That is true. But it is equally true, and it's really important that each one of us knows that God loves us, that He sees us as individual people. We are each a unique expression of His love, and He loves us. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Paul says that love is so important. In 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "Without love, I am nothing. I gain nothing." That's a fairly strong statement to make, isn't it? Without love, I am nothing. I gain nothing. And so the first thing I want to say about God's love is God's love is active. You know, love isn't anything unless you have someone or something to love. Isn't that true? God's love is active. And in Romans 5:8 it says, "But God demonstrates His love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I love that verse for two reasons. One, it talks about the fact that God is demonstrating His love. That's love in action, isn't it? He's showing us. He's not just saying, "I love you," but He's actually shown us His love by sending Jesus. And the second part is it says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel very lovable. Sometimes we pick ourselves apart, or maybe we've done something, or we've said something, and we kind of, and we kind of hide ourselves in shame, and sometimes we kind of say, "God, don't look at that part of me. That's not very lovable. Just, here's the good part of me. Here's the part where I'm trying and I'm getting it right." Anyone identify with that at all? Yeah. And yet the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means while we were actively not walking with God, while we were actively doing things that grieve His heart, while we were actively doing things that separate us from Him, He looked at us in that moment and He said, "I love you." If you think in your own life, the moment when you feel the most, like you'd like to separate yourself from that moment, you might feel shame or you might feel like, "I just wish that hadn't happened." In that moment, if you're actively doing that thing, God looked at you and He said, "I love you." Because it's not about what we do at all. It's about who we are. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you more. Do you know that? There is nothing you can do to earn His love. There is nothing you can do to take His love away from you or to cause Him to stop loving you. Nothing you can do. Nothing. You can't mess it up. You can't earn your way to getting it all right. He loves you, and He loves me, because we're His children. And that can never change. He made us, didn't He? We are His. And so my prayer this morning is that each one of us, if nothing else, that we would know this morning that we are loved because we are sons and daughters of a living God. Jesus, when He was water baptized, He came up out of the water, and at that moment in His life, He hadn't done all the miracles. He hadn't fed all the people. He hadn't shown His love and compassion in those active ways that we read about all through the New Testament. He hadn't done all the things that He was sent to do. And yet the voice came out of heaven saying, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." Well pleased. God is pleased with each one of us, not because of what we do, but because of who we are. And so God, in His love in action, He left all the glories of heaven. We often think about heaven. Oh no. We often think about heaven as the place where we all long to go. Yeah. There's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more shame. And we just think, you know, one day we'll be rescued from this place and we get to go there. But Jesus left all of the glories of heaven and he came amongst us. Now, my intent was to walk away from the front here, but I don't think this microphone's going to let me, is it? Do you think I can? No. Okay. My heart was to... Sorry?
Try this way.
Well, you guys are good. You've done this before. So God left all the glories of heaven, and he came down amongst us. Excuse me, ladies. It's going to get past you for a minute. He came down amongst us. He didn't just stay in the glories of heaven. He came down to where we are to experience life as we do. From this position of where I am now, I see things the way you guys are seeing them. I see that there's no one standing up front speaking. I'm no longer up front looking at all of your faces, hoping you're listening and hoping something's making sense. I'm here with you. I can see the way you see from the same perspective you do. And that's what Jesus did when he came amongst us. He walked on this earth so that he could identify with us. Let me get back, sorry. We sometimes forget that, you know. We're aware that Jesus didn't sin, but he was tempted. He did walk the same way that we walked. He lived in a world where there was hatred and pain and jealousy and all those other things. And yet he knew the Father's love. And that's his heart for us as we walk through every single day, no matter what we go through, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, that we are loved. I know for me, one time, I remember going up front for prayer, I was about, I don't know, 22 or something like that, and I saw this picture of a mansion. It was a huge mansion with shiny wooden floors, and had a staircase going up one side, and there were children running around, and they were laughing and playing and screaming, just having fun. But me, I was on my knees on the floor, and I was scrubbing the floor, and I was scrubbing the floor, and I could see this person standing beside me, and it was like, you know, you missed a spot. And God said to me, Zalobia, that's how you see me sometimes. You think I let all my other kids go off and play and have fun, but I've got you on the floor scrubbing away, and I'm saying, oh, you missed a spot. That's not my heart at all. I don't know how many of you ever feel that way, like you're just trying to be a good Christian, and you're trying to do all the right things, and the more, sometimes, the harder you try, the more you mess up. And we feel like God's saying, oh, you missed that spot. And he's not saying, that is not the heart of the Father. Let me paint you a completely different picture of the heart of the Father. Imagine a parent with their little child who's learning how to stand or learning how to walk. And you see that little one get up on their unsteady, wobbly legs, and they're holding on to something, and that parent is so excited, they're cheering them on, yeah, look at you, you're standing up, woo! And when they start standing and they start learning their balance, they start developing the muscles in their legs and they're able to stand a little bit more, then they start to try and walk. And what do we do as parents? We encourage every single thing they do. I mean, we go silly over it, don't we? We cheer them on and we encourage them. And what happens when they fall? Have you ever seen a parent say, oh, for heaven's sakes, get up. You mucked that one up, didn't you? There's a table right there to hold on to. Would we ever do that as a parent? Never. We don't even notice the fall. We don't even make mention of it because we know that's part of learning how to stand. It's part of learning to find your balance. It's part of getting those muscles going in your legs. One day, standing and walking will be natural for that child. I would never look at another adult and say, look at you, well done. You walked all the way across the street. Would we? It's going to be second nature to us one day, but right now, that little child is learning. And that child needs our love and our encouragement. Say, come on, get up. You can do it again. Come on. And because of that encouragement, because of receiving that love and encouragement from us, that child is okay, and they try it again. That is the heart of Father God. As we learn to walk with him, as we try out new things, as we step in closer, as we allow him in closer into our heart, that's the heart of the Father for us. Well done. That's awesome. I love you. Come on in. You're doing great. He doesn't look at the falls. That's part of it. He knows that. He is there encouraging us, drawing us on, saying, there's more. I've got more for you. Come over here. Let me show you this. That's what we need to hear in those moments. I want to read for you from Ephesians 3, verses 16 to 19. But I'm going to read from the Amplified version, because the Amplified just adds so much extra, doesn't it? It goes back to the original, and it looks at the fullness of what each word intended. So it's a little bit long, but it's quite powerful. May he grant you, out of the riches of his glory, to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith, and may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, God's children, the width and length and height and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love, and that you may come to know practically, through personal experience, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's not letting love come here. That's letting love soak all the way in into our innermost being and personality, indwelling, living there, staying there. Now, the one part that stuck out to me was being deeply rooted and securely grounded in love. And about us knowing the width and the length and the height and the depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love. We often compare God's love to an ocean, don't we? The ocean is so wide and it's so deep. I remember standing in Vancouver at Stanley Park, and you look out and all you see is the water meeting the sky. There's nothing on the horizon. And it's an amazing feeling to see that vast, wide ocean. And I want you to think of that ocean as being love. And you know, some of us may have grown up inland. We may have grown up without God's love. And we may have heard about the ocean. Oh, it's amazing. You can go water skiing, you can go diving, you can go swimming. And so we heard all these things about the ocean. The more we heard about it, it began to whet our appetites. And we thought, you know, I've got to see this for myself. It's not enough to hear about the ocean. I actually need to see this for myself. And so we make that trek, and we get ourselves all the way to the coast, and we get all the way down to the beach. And now we can see with our own eyes that ocean. That's a very different experience, isn't it? Just hearing about it all your life to the first time you get to see it. And when you see how vast and wide it is, it just does something to you. It fills you with life. But you know, that's not enough. We're still not able in that moment to fully comprehend the ocean. But if we were to get into the ocean, if we were to stand at the shore first and let the waves just lap at our toes and just feel the warmth of it, or the coldness that you get used to it, and just start to feel that water, the refreshing of the water, and then you go a little bit deeper and a little deeper, and maybe you like playing in the water and you like jumping in the waves and splashing, and you start to know it and understand it more, but you still don't have a full taste of the vastness and the width and the depth of the ocean. But if you were to put on some gear and go right out and go into the ocean and dive down, so that when you look up and you look beside you and look all around you, all you see is water. Now you're starting to grasp the ocean, the fullness of the ocean. And everything you see around you is through the water, isn't it? Whether you see someone beside you, or you see a coral reef or a fish, it's all through the water that you're now seeing things. And God's desire is that we come, that we taste of his love. And there's lots of ways of enjoying his love, but he longs for us to have that moment where we go right into his love, where we allow his love to wash right over us, so that all around us, all we are aware of is his love. Because in that moment, we become aware of how wide and how deep and how long and how high his love is for us. And when we look around us, everything we see through the eyes of love. That's his heart for us. Now, obviously, we can't live in the depths of the ocean because otherwise no one else would ever hear about God's love. We do have to come up, but when we've had those tastes, we can go to the shore and we can beckon others in and say, you will not believe what I've seen. You won't believe what's down there. Come and taste for yourself. Right? That's why we taste God's love. It is for us to know and it is for us to give away, but we need to taste it first. We need to taste his love for us first. So in verse 19, it talks about that we would come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. So love is active, but love is personal. Love is personal. Love sees the one. The Bible talks about the shepherd who left the 99 and went after the one. You know those 99 that stayed in the pen like they were supposed to? They were in the right place, doing the right thing, but the one little sheep ran away for whatever reason, wandered, curious, whatever your reasons you might think it left. The shepherd left the 99 and went after the one because that one was so important. That flock was not complete without that one. And each one of us here is like that one, that Jesus would go anywhere and do anything to draw us back in because we are that important to him. I remember when I was in my teens, I was able to go to church when I was 14. And for the first couple of years that I was at church, I often went up for prayer. I had a lot of stuff to wash off me. And oftentimes when I go up for prayer, people would speak verses over me like, God will never leave you nor forsake you, or I'm with you always. And every time I'd hear these verses, they would just, that truth would sink in a little deeper because life was so unstable for me. It's like God was saying, but I'm here, Zalobia. I'm never going away. I'm with you always. I am here. I'm not going to leave you. I am here. I am here. And every time I heard that, that truth began to sink in a little deeper. But there came a day when I kind of stopped taking it in and I just started hearing the words up here. And I, oh, isn't that so nice you gave me that word? Everyone gives me that word. That's really sweet. And I would just leave it here and push it away instead of realizing that God spoke it again that day because I needed to hear it that day because there was something else he wanted to give to me. Well, when I was 16, I went on a missions trip to India. And while I was there, one of my leaders gave me a note of encouragement. And I read the note, and at the end of it, she had one of those verses. And I was like, oh, Kathy, that's so sweet. You know, everyone gives me that verse. It's a really special verse of mine. Thank you. You know, that really means something to me. But I'm leaving it here, aren't I? I came home from the trip, and a few months later, I was cleaning up my room. And I stumbled on this note, and I called my mom in. And I said, Mom, look, I got this note from Kathy. Let me read it to you. And I read her the note, and then I got to the verse. Now, I'm going to back up for a minute. As you guys know, my name, Zalobia, is not the most common, unique, and easy to say name. But I remember, even as a little girl, like the age of 2 or 3, saying to people, it's Zalobia. And I figured if I could say it at 2, then adults could surely well learn how to say it. I didn't like shortened versions of my name, because usually when people shortened it, it was quite a painful experience. So I really insisted that everybody call me Zalobia. And the only exception to this was a friend that I received when I was 14. She was an answer to my mom's prayers, and her name was Carla. She's my friend to this day, and she's been such a blessing in my life. God used her to remind me how to laugh and teach me how to laugh, and we just walked through a lot together. And Carla had a special name for me. She called me Lo, L-O. No one else in the world was allowed to call me that name but Carla, but when she said it, it was a really sweet and personal thing because she's my best friend. So, going back to this verse, I read the letter out to my mom. This is what Kathy had said, and then I got to the verse. And as I read the verse, at the very same moment, it hit my mom and I, and this was the verse. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. And I know it's a grammatical point. It's like, you know, verily I say unto thee, surely I say to you. But in that moment, that was my daddy calling me by my special name that no one else calls me. And he was saying to me, Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. And I was blown away because, you see, love is personal. He sees the one. I mean, who knew you could find my name in the Bible? I was really, really blessed that day. we sing a song. It's called You're a Good, Good Father. And it starts out by saying, I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like. But I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. Have you ever heard God's tender whisper of love in the dead of night? When I was around 15, I remember coming home one day just full of pain and sorrow, and I was at a place where I couldn't take another step carrying it. The load was just too heavy. And I remember walking past my mom and her friend in the living room, and I ran upstairs to my room, and I had this nice brown cushiony chair, and I closed the door and I curled up into a little ball, and I just sat in that chair and I just cried and I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried. And I just poured my heart out to God. And I just, God, it hurts. I can't do this anymore. And I just, everything that came into my thoughts came out of my mouth. And I just poured my heart out. I must have been up there for a couple hours. And when I finally had no tears left to cry and no more words left to cry out with, I just sat there in the stillness. And in that moment, I just became aware of, I didn't have words for it at the time. I now know it was God's presence. There was such a peace in the room, such a tangible sweetness of love in the room. And I just stayed there in that place and just let that presence, let that love, let God just come and just soak into my being, into the very depths of my heart. And it's like love came to all those open wounds that were bleeding and sore and just healed them in that moment, just took away all the pain. I mean, completely healed me up. And I remember just feeling in perfect peace, and just, it was just such a beautiful, beautiful place to be. And I don't know how long I was there, and I finally pulled myself out of the room and I came downstairs, and I remember walking past the room where Mom and her friend were, and they said, Zilovia, what has happened to you? You're glowing like a light bulb. And I thought, oh, you can see it, like it's real. I haven't imagined this up, And in the years gone by, as I've come to understand more and more that that was a taste of God's love that I've had. I've said many times, I would go through all that yuck that I went through again for that taste. Because it was the sweetest, most beautiful expression of God's love that I have ever known. That's love's tender whisper in the dead of night. God longs for us to just come to Him and say, Daddy, it hurts. Daddy, that wasn't fair. I didn't like that. Whatever it is that's on your heart, and to pour your heart out to Him, and then don't go away. Wait in that moment and let Him love you. Let Him tend to your heart. Let Him heal you. Let Him cover you. Let Him be your daddy. God's love is pure. It is personable. It is active. God's love never, ever hurts or manipulates. It never tires of us. It never rejects us. It never condemns us. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No, none, zero. God never condemns. The Holy Spirit will convict us, because He loves us and because He wants more for us and He wants to show us a better way. But His tools come along like, hey, you know that there? Can I show you a better way? Let's try it this way next time. You'll feel a lot better with that, and it'll go over much. He points a better way. He gives us hope. He opens a way forward where we thought there wasn't any. God never, ever says, you missed a spot. You lucked that one up. Never. Never, never. If you hear those words, it's not the voice of God. It's not in His toolkit. He doesn't use those tools. He came to bring life abundantly. It's the enemy who comes to kill and steal and destroy. It's the enemy who wants to bring us guilt and shame. That's not love. That's not the voice of love. And all you need to do is tell those words, that voice, to go away in the name of Jesus and receive God's heart for you in its place. There's another song that we sing, and it says, how great your love is for me. In fact, we might have sang it this morning, I can't remember. I just want to tell you one more story of me tasting God's love for me, knowing that God so loved the world, but remembering that God loves me and He sees me as a unique expression of His love. So the church that I went to, there was not any young people at all. I was the youth group. And I prayed for years and years for young people to come to the church. And when some young people finally started coming, I was just so excited. I knew that this was God responding to my prayers. And finally, there was enough of them that we decided to have an actual function together, to do something, to be a youth group. And so we decided to have a barbecue at someone's house. And I don't know why, but I really felt like this day and this occasion, this barbecue, was something really significant. It was like God was launching something, and it was really important that it happened on that day. And about a week before, the guy who was hosting the barbecue, his name was Steve, and he came up to me and said, "Oh, Zalobia, not supposed to be very nice weather this week, so just to say if it rains, we're canceling the barbecue." It wasn't, you know, we'll take it indoors, or we'll, there was no alternate plans, we'll just cancel it. And I said to him, "Well, Steve, I've been praying for this for years. This day is happening. I really feel like God's on this day, so I'm just going to pray for sunshine." And he kind of said, "Yeah, whatever. You do what you need to, but if it rains, we're canceling it." And so the week went on, and the weather forecast didn't change. And I woke up on the Saturday morning, and they were the blackest clouds you can possibly imagine, like big, heavy storm clouds completely filling the sky. From where I was standing in my house, looking out the window, that's all I could see was thick, heavy, black clouds. And something in my spirit just rose up, and I said, "You know what, Satan? You are not going to stop us from having what God intends, and God has plans for this day. You are not going to stop us with rain." And so I began to pray for God to bring sunshine that day. And I found myself praying a prayer that did not start here in my head, because I would never have had the courage or the thought to pray it. And this was the prayer: "God, I not only ask that you would bring us sunshine and blue skies, but Lord, would you clear the sky, like clear the whole sky, but would you leave one cloud in the sky to remind me of what you've done?" I mean, who prays a prayer like that? I certainly never have again, and never did before. But those are the words that came out of my mouth, and I thought, okay. And so I just thanked God that His plans for the day would prevail, because we were choosing to serve Him, and I knew He had plans for that day. Anyways, my mom said to me, "Let's go for a walk." I said, "Sure." So I came out of my house, and first thing I did was look up at the sky, and right above where my roof had been covering the sky, there was a tiny little slit of sun sneaking its way through these black clouds. And my spirit just soared. Like, I just knew it was going to be a sunny day. I was so excited. And as I went for this walk, I was just thanking God and praising Him, because I knew it was going to be a sunny day. And the more I thanked Him, the more I praised Him, the more I saw these little slits through the black clouds of sunshine, just narrow little slits. And God and I had an amazing conversation that day. He just began to teach me things about the clouds and about life, and how when we have problems and troubles and God promises things, we often can't see a way through, but He can. You know, if you got in an airplane and you went up above those clouds, there's blue sky, isn't there? It's there. We can't see it on a cloudy day, but it's there. And from where God is and where He sees things, because He stands outside of it all and He looks in, He sees the blue sky. When He says it's there, it is there. It's not just nice words, it's there. When He promises, it's true. And so anyways, God just began to teach me a lot of things about trusting Him that day. And the day went on, I went to the barbecue, and partway through the barbecue, this guy Steve, who was hosting, came up to me, and he said, "Oh, Zalobia, it looks like your prayers were answered, you know, nice, beautiful, sunny day, gorgeous blue sky, well, except for that dumb cloud." And I whipped my head up, and it was the bluest sky you've ever seen. I mean, there wasn't a hint of haze, you know, where you might think, well, that could count. There was a blue sky, except right in front of me, one picture-perfect, white, fluffy little cloud. And I was just in awe. You know, you can't say that was a change in the weather pattern. You can't say, well, lots of people pray for sunshine. For whatever reason, that must have been the unction of the Holy Spirit, I prayed for a perfectly blue sky, but for God to leave one cloud to remind me of what He'd done for me. And He honored that. Isn't that amazing? Yes, God so loves the world
but he loves me and he loves you. And each one of us is a unique expression of his love. And you know, he's no respecter of persons. What he's done for me, he will do for you. And if you've never tasted God's love for you, all you have to do is ask him. All you have to do is give him permission, because he will never go past your will. He's not going to push you into the water. He's not going to stick your head under the water. He beckons us. Come on. I love you. Won't you let me love you? Won't you let me show you how much I love you? That's the heart of a father. He longs for us to know his love. It is there in abundance. It is wide. It is deep. It is long. It is high. And he longs for us to be filled with and covered in his love. That when we look around us, we see through the eyes of love. When we hear things coming to us, we hear it through the lens of love. That's his heart for each and every single one of us today. So I just want to give us a few minutes just to have a moment with God ourselves. Because as I said, the only thing stopping us from having our first taste or another taste or a fresh taste of God's love is us giving him permission. God, I choose. Yes, I choose you. I want to know your love for me. I want to taste this love for me. I want to know that it's real, that it's not just words. We sing it, we talk about it, we tell people about it. But do we know it? Do you know in the very depths of your being that you are loved by your Creator, by the Great I Am, by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by Yahweh? Do you know that you are loved? He sees you. The Bible says his thoughts towards us outnumber the grains of sand in the sea. And I love that. I imagine myself picking up a handful of sand, and I think, I wouldn't even have patience to count how many grains are in that handful. But his thoughts towards each one of us outnumber the grains of sand in the sea. Psalm 139 also says that he numbers the very hairs on our head. And you know, a lot of people, when I talk to people, they think, oh, I can't tell God about that. I can't involve God in that. That's just a silly little thing. He's got far more things to care about than that. And I'd like to point out that verse. Do any of you know the number of hairs on your head? If you think about all the things that happen that causes, you know, you lie on your pillow, you wake up, and there's hair there. And for me, who could walk around and see it floating around, my whole house is covered, unfortunately. We lose hair all the time, don't we? God has numbered the very hairs on our head. And I want to ask you this today. Do any of you care how many hairs you have on your head? I certainly don't. So if God knows the things of your life that you don't even care about, how much more is he aware of? How much more does he care about the things that matter to you? God loves you. And his heart is for you to come in closer, for you to taste more of his love. And if you've tasted it, great, there's more. I don't care how much of an experience you've had of God's love, there's more. There's more. Because we cannot comprehend how deep and how wide and how fast his love is for us. So I'm just going to stop for a moment. I'm just going to ask if we just put on a bit of quiet music. And I just want to give you a moment just to talk to God. And if you're willing, to give him permission to show you his love for the first time or again. His love for you that says, you are one in my love. I love the world, but I want you to know I love you. Okay, so we're just going to take a couple of moments. Thanks. I just want to encourage you this week, if you have prayed that prayer, if you've given God permission, to look for those moments. You know, when we pray and when we ask God things, He answers us. Not always in the way we expect, not always in the way we think, but He always answers us. And when you're asking Him, Lord, I want a taste of Your love, Daddy. I want to know Your love for me. I promise You. It is His good pleasure to answer you. He is waiting and longing for you to ask for more. That's the heart of a father. The heart of a father is to lavish us with His love and His goodness. And He is a generous father. He is a generous father. So I just want to encourage you this week to look for those moments of where He wants to show His love for you. It may be in big things, it may be in little things. You know, I remember when my mum and I were finally able to start walking out our faith in a more practical way. We lived our lives trusting God financially. You know, our paycheck didn't quite meet everything, and we would just every month just hold out our needs before the Lord, and He'd see Him meet our needs in amazing ways. And I remember when it was time for me to move out of the house, I remember driving across the bridge, and I paid my rent, and I had a car that I could use to go to work, but I had no money left for food for that month, which is very important, and I had no money for petrol. And I remember driving across the bridge and saying to the Lord, okay, Dad, so I know You've looked after my mum and I all these years, but let's face it, my mum has been looking at the bills. And I've just been saying to her, God will provide. Trust Him. God will provide. But she's been looking at those bills. And things are changing now, Lord. I'm going to be the one staring at these bills. And my mom's not going to be around. So I'm just checking that we still have the same deal. Okay? That I'm still going to give You my needs and You're still going to take care of me. I'm just making sure that nothing's going to change in that way. And as I said those words, I kind of laughed and I coughed and I leaned forward. And I suddenly saw this little patch of sky right behind my rearview mirror, where there was sun breaking through the cloud. And I knew in that moment He was saying to Obia, remember, I love you. I'm no respecter of persons, I love you. And you know, I walked into the house that I was moving into, and one of my roommates came up to me, and she said, oh, by the way, Helen was going to move in 2 weeks from now, but she's decided to move in early, so we all get reimbursed to us $50 for the rent that we were going to cover for her. And I thought, great, I can eat. That's my food budget for the month. 50, excellent. Just remember, Lord, I still need petrol. And we did our move that day, and at the end of the day, I was just getting to know Blaine, and he asked to borrow my car. And he went to drive someone home, and I said, yeah, that's fine. And he brought the car back, and later that evening, my roommate said, oh, can you come and pick me up? I'm at my boyfriend's house, I don't have a car. Sure, okay, I've got my new little car, I'm enjoying driving it. So I went out in the dark, in a land that I was not very familiar with, and I went to this guy's house. And as I went to pull over to the side of the road so I could get out and go get her, my front tire went into a ditch that I didn't know was there because it was pitch black. And I was so frustrated. I was like, you know, God, I'm trying to do something nice here, and now my car is in the ditch and I don't have to get it out. And I started panicking, and I just kind of put my head on the steering wheel in frustration. And as I did, my eyes looked in front of me, and my eyes landed on the petrol tank, and my petrol tank, which had been empty, was now full. And so the Lord had asked somebody to fill my petrol tank without knowing that I had no money to fill it. And so on that very day, that little need that I brought before Him, that assurance, that reassurance I needed from my daddy, that we had the same deal that he and my mom had, that he would take care of me just like he did my mom, He showed me in no uncertain ways that day, I love you, Zenobia. I know your needs even before you ask them. So I just want to say to you, as you look this week, there's lots of different ways of God expressing His love for us. But you'll know it in that moment because you'll feel loved. You'll feel seen. You'll feel known. And that's His heart for you. So I just want to read that verse in Ephesians again, but I actually want to pray it out over us, because it was Paul's prayer for us that we would know these things. So, yeah. So I pray that God would grant you, out of the riches of His glory, to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through His Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith. And I pray that you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, that you would be fully capable of comprehending with all of the saints, all God's people, the width and the length and the height and the depth of His love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love, and that you may come to know practically, through personal experience, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, being completely filled and flooded with God Himself. And so, Father, we receive that prayer and that blessing. Lord, we thank you that your love is active, that your love is personal, that your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on us. Father, we thank you that your heart is to draw us closer. And I thank you, Lord, that you heard each and every single prayer this morning. And Lord, I know that your heart is delighted with every single one who said, Lord, I give you permission. And so, Father, I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to receive your gifts of love this week. I pray, Lord, that we may have testimonies to share of how God has shown us His love. Because, Father, we are changed by your love. We are completely changed by your love. So, Lord, I just want to pray for your blessing now and your covering on each and every single person here. And, Lord, we say that we're waiting expectantly for what you're about to do. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and that you are good. And we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.